battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and joining me now is Kevin Zeese, who is the co-director of It's Our Economy. He's the director of Come Home America and serves on the steering committees of the Bradley Manning Support Network and October2011.org. He's been active in third-party electoral politics and served as Ralph Nader's press secretary and spokesman in 2004. He ran for Maryland's U.S. Senate seat on the Green Party ticket in 2006 and was the only person ever nominated by the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, and the Populist Party. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kevin Zeese.
Good to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
And Kevin, give us an update on today's activities. Of course, Friday being the 10th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan in Washington, D.C. It seems like there's a number of protests. There were protests against the IMF and also at the Smithsonian against the exhibit of drones. Give us a sense of what's going on in the city.
Well, this is all part of the Occupy movement that's kind of swept the country since Occupy Wall Street. We have a project called Stop the Machine, Create a New World. We have a Facebook page with that name, and also if you look at the October2011.org site, you can see a lot about it. But we started this on October 6th, which was the beginning of the 11th year of the Afghanistan war. And it's also the first week of the new federal budget, which provides for austerity budgets for everything except for war. So everything else gets cut back while war moves forward. And so what we have in Washington, D.C. on Freedom Plaza is an occupation. It's kind of like Tahrir Square on a small scale, and in Spain where they did something similar, in Madison, Wisconsin, where people are taking over a public space, and there's all sorts of messages about the economy's injustice as well as the need to cut the military budget and end these wars. And so we had an event yesterday where we went to a Smithsonian museum that has a kind of glorifies weapons of mass destruction from Hiroshima and Nagasaki to the drones that are currently killing innocent civilians every day, that the U.S. is sending to Pakistan and other countries. And so people went in to do a die-in, and were met at the door by security guards who pepper sprayed them and pushed them out and closed the museum. So it was quite a reaction from them. But so this is just one of many things going on to protest the wars, but also to protest economic injustice in this country.
And Kevin Zeese, in terms of economic injustice, the rallying cry, we are the 99%, drawing attention to the 1% who increasingly control America, which is rapidly becoming a kind of corporate plutonomy, and it's the power of money versus the power of people, and money seems to be in the driver's seat at the moment. And there you have right there in Washington, ground zero of money, which is K Street, where all the lobbyists are. Is there any sense that will be a target? Because that seems to be the 99% in many ways seem to be the most effective glue for these disparate movements.
No question. I think economic insecurity is much like the draft was in Vietnam. It makes it personal. Economic insecurity really affects every American except for the top 1%. Our first day's action actually on Thursday the 6th was to go to the Chamber of Commerce, which is probably the corporate bully of Washington, D.C. It's not the Chamber of Commerce in your local area, but the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that represents transnational corporations and takes a lot of foreign money and funnels it into lobbying in the United States to protect transnational interests. So we are definitely targeting K Street. There's also another occupation going on, Occupy D.C., which is on 15th and K at McPherson Plaza. That started October 1st as part of the Occupy movement. If you want to see how big the Occupy movement is, occupytogether.org lists hundreds of occupations that are planned or already going on throughout the United States. This is like taking over from everywhere. And I think that's because it's such a widespread problem. You mentioned the economic disparity. Well, you have 400 people in this country with wealth equal to 154 million people. That's disparity. You have 1% with the wealth of 95%. That's feudal ages type of an economy. In fact, in the feudal ages, the wealthiest 2% had the wealth equal to 90%, so we're actually worse than the feudal ages. You have a president who's fundraising for a $1 billion campaign, and he's holding fundraisers that cost $38,500 to get into. That's more than the median income of an individual in the United States. So if you earn the individual median income, you could not afford to go to an Obama fundraiser, even if you use all your money from the year. So the government's out of touch with the people on this issue. In fact, it's listening to those with lots of money. If you look at our website, October2011.org, you can see seven issues where super majorities of Americans, you know, 60% or more, agree on a solution to a various problem, and the government's going in the opposite direction. We're with the 60%. We're with the super majority of Americans, and I think our views are more mainstream than what the government's putting in place.
And Kevin Z, since you've been organizing these protests, and you mentioned the security guards at the Smithsonian using pepper spray, I believe there was an interloper from the right-wing American Spectator who'd infiltrated the movement. He also got pepper sprayed. But what is the general tenor of Washington, D.C.'s police because there's an awful lot of different police jurisdictions in Washington? How are they handling things as opposed to NYPD? As you know, they've been pretty tough on the demonstrators in New York, and there's been some arbitrary police abuse.
And behavior. I mean, actually, in Washington, D.C., the police have been quite good, I must say. I think they've made a decision, maybe learning from New York, that being abusive actually draws more attention and more support for the protests. We have on our website, you can see, we're training people in nonviolence. These are nonviolent protests. This one instigator that snuck in, pretended to be with us, actually was there to try to escalate to a violent protest. And that's not where we wanted to go, but he went and took it that direction. And so it's disappointing to see that kind of behavior happening. We do know the police, of course, are infiltrating as well to monitor what we're doing. But so far, they're not instigating any kind of violence. We've seen that kind of thing in other parts of the country and world where police get into a crowd, pretend to be part of it, and then actually create violence. That has not happened here. The D.C. police have actually been very responsible so far, very cooperative. Tonight's a key night for us. So any people who know anyone in Washington, D.C., come down and join us. We're going to have a big dance party tonight because at 10 o'clock we expect that we'll be asked to leave and we're going to stay and really occupy this plaza. We have a permit till tonight. We've been doing things that violate the permit, no doubt, having tents and sleeping and some of our food preparation violates the permit, so we're already in violation. But tonight the permit runs out at 10 o'clock. We plan to have an all-night dance party. So anyone who knows anyone in the D.C. area, send them down to Freedom Plaza on 13th in Pennsylvania to join us for an all-night dance party and help us to hold the plaza for this democracy space.
Again, I'm speaking with attorney and activist Kevin Zeese, who's the co-director of It's Our Economy, director of Come Home America. He serves on the steering committees of the Bradley Manning Support Network and October2011.org. He's in Washington, D.C. Tell me what's going to happen in the following days, not to mention tonight, where you are going to overstay your welcome. Is it Liberty Plaza you're calling it?
Freedom Plaza.
My guess is
we've kind of winning the war. I mean, the incredible press we've been getting, very positive media attention, even from corporate media. One article in the Post the other day, the reporter talked about how she was coming over to the plaza and talking to cab drivers, and everyone she talked to was supportive of our message, because I think every American feels this. We really are the 99%. The anger even through the Tea Party is about economic injustice and economic insecurity. They have different solutions than we do, but they're also suffering in an unfair economy, and I think people all feel this. They see the bailouts of Wall Street, not just the program from the Treasury Department, but also the Federal Reserve giving. In fact, the Treasury Reserve gave loans that are bigger than our GDP to the banking system. So they are pretty aggressive in giving money at low cost to banks, and banks are taking big bonuses and big salaries, have big profits, not paying taxes, and not investing back in the economy. So people are, for good reason, very angry. The foreclosure crisis is continuing. We're probably halfway through it at this point. We have many houses that are valued at less than their mortgage. They're underwater. And looking at where it's going, there are a lot more foreclosures coming. It could be stopped, but the government's not taking action to stop them. They could have their their mortgage shrunk to the size of the value of the home, and not the housing bubble price, but the government's not doing that either. So lots of inadequate action by the government, lots of anger on the people, and I think for very good reason they're getting out in the streets, because the electoral system and the government system of lobbying is dysfunctional. Only the money talks and the people are ignored. We want to shift power to the people away from concentrated corporate wealth and really see this democracy become a participatory democracy, not a corporate oligarchy.
And Kevin Z, since you've been a political activist since graduating from George Washington Law School in 1980, that's three decades of activism. Give us a sense of how you see the rank and file. I was on Thursday down here at Occupy LA demonstrations, right on the steps of City Hall, and spoke to a cross section of the people that were encamping down there. The younger students, I thought, were quite powerful in the message that, you know, that they're laden with corporate debt, with the student debt, but also corporate debt, in as much as teenagers, they're encouraged to get credit cards, etc. And you know, I just wondering about the glue for a new movement. We started out the hour today, Kevin, with Todd Gitlin, who ran the Students for Democratic Society in the Vietnam War and organized the first national demonstration against the war of Vietnam, to get a kind of sense of what happened then, and as opposed to what's happening now. So, give me your description of the elements of this movement, and perhaps what is going to build it into a
lot of the energy comes from youth, which is great. It's really great to see young late teenagers and 20-year-olds getting active. And I think student debt, this generation has the highest level of student debt ever. We're approaching $1 billion in student debt, and it's kind of another bubble that's about to burst, because these kids are leaving school with, you know, $500 or $1,000 a month payments on their student debt. And they're, you know, have the worst job prospects of any generation in my memory. So they're in a bad state of affairs. But and I think that economic insecurity is really pulling people out. I mean, the war happens to be the anniversary of the war, and people recognize that military spending is 55% of federal discretionary spending, and that war budgets keep going up while everything else is held back. So they all see that, and that, I think, adds the anger about the war. And they can't imagine what 11th year of war will do that during the last 10, so why are we still there? But the energy, I think, is really coming from economic insecurity, a lot from youth, but also a lot from people who are being knocked out of the middle class. We have on our page stories from people, why I'm coming to Washington, D.C., and the stories are powerful. You know, middle-class people who've lost jobs, lost homes, and find themselves living in cars, families that have lost children because they don't have adequate health insurance and can't get adequate health care. I mean, the reality is 100,000 people in this country die each year from preventable illnesses. And many people have insurance but still can't afford to go to the doctor. It's a very sad situation where we are. And, of course, unemployment's so high. So it's economic insecurity that's driving it. And people have a sense of unfairness and injustice when they see that these 400 wealthiest people who have as much wealth as 154 million of us pay about 17% in federal taxes, while the middle class pays 25 to 30% in federal taxes. It just doesn't make much sense. These folks should be paying much more than the middle class is, not equal to, but much more from the progressive tax system. They should be paying much more in taxes than they are.
Well, just in closing, Kevin Zeese, there was a recent report from the Pew Research Center that one-third of the veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan believe that the wars were a mistake and weren't worth it. And a lot of these veterans come home and get these worthless diplomas from these for-profit colleges, which leverage tax dollars, which the Congress gives them for next to nothing, and then they can charge them back and saddle these kids with student debt. So the veterans are getting screwed as well, in the same way that the students are. So there should be a kind of as opposed to the Vietnam War days, where some of the demonstrations were hostile towards the soldiers, there should be some empathy and solidarity there, surely.
No question. We have lots of vets here. In fact, on the first day, we had a beautiful march of vets coming into the plaza. They came in formation and circled the plaza, and we were all surrounded by vets, and people were very excited to see that. They were followed, by the way, about 15 minutes later by a delegation from Madison, Wisconsin, you know, which a lot of us got this inspiration from seeing what happened in Madison in the early part of that rebellion. We've really been encouraged, and I just today was with a bunch of Egyptians and Tunisians who were at the plaza, who were involved in those revolts. And so this is something happening around the world and throughout the country, affecting lots of people. This concentrated corporate capitalism, this neoliberalism, has a dramatic effect on the United States, but also has a dramatic effect around the world. And I think people are really waking up at the same time, the same circumstances, and want to see not just tinkering change, but radical change, transformational change,
right,
away from government by the corporation, government by the people.
I thank you so much for joining us, Kevin Zeese.
Thank you very much.
Again, Kevin is the co-director of It's Our Economy, director of Come Home America, serves on the steering committees of the Bradley Manning Support Network and October2011.org. He's been active in third-party politics, served as Ralph Nader's press secretary and spokesman in 2004, and what did we learn on Background Briefing today? We began with Todd Gitlin, who was able to give us a fairly long perspective on demonstrations and populist political movements in this country, given that he organized the first national demonstration against the Vietnam War, and he was head of Students for a Democratic Society. He's been down in Zuccotti Park and spent time with the demonstrators there, and is actually fairly optimistic that this could be we are the 99%. It could be the glue of a new political movement that could sweep the country and not necessarily fall victim to the balkanization of politics on the left, which tends to diffuse these movements. And, of course, back in the 60s, the SDS were so non-hierarchical that they finally got rid of their president and vice president, of course, being Gitlin himself. But in general, there was a real sense of optimism. We spent the rest of the program talking about Afghanistan on the 10th anniversary with an anthropologist who'd been studying and visiting the country for 50 years. I chose him because I think he knows more than most people about the country. Clearly, he thinks that calling it as it is, in terms of the relationship between the United States and Pakistan, who essentially want the Taliban to win and want to control the place once the U.S. pulls out, he basically felt that now that the cards are on the table, actually was a healthier situation, but he felt that India is going to move in to fill the vacuum, and that could create enormous problems. But if all of the neighborhood get together and pressure Pakistan into wanting to stabilize the place, maybe there's some hope. And then finally, we spoke with Kevin Zeese of the October 2011 movement, got an update on where the demonstrations are in Washington, D.C. And again, very, very hopeful signs that maybe the 99% can take back this country from the 1%. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. And this program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. I'll be back again tomorrow from 5 to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursdays here at KPFK with Background Briefing. Bye for now. An angel song about the home of the brave and the man who run the free one time.